Everyone, welcome back to Heavenland Devotions. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be back again. I actually did a video yesterday with Howard, and everything that could go wrong went wrong. But then when I went to check on the video today, which I thought was a complete disaster, everything turned out perfect. So it is uploaded today, and I'm still doing another video today. You know why I'm doing another video today? For the same reason that you're here. See, when your heart is hungry, God is going to feed hungry hearts. If you're thirsty, God is going to feed those that are thirsty. He always says, they that are thirsty. He doesn't say, everybody come. He doesn't force people to drink. But he says, those who are thirsty, let him come. And so people have to willingly come to Christ. And he is that living water of life, that a man may drink or a woman may drink thereof and never thirst again, not for the waters of this world. That are this, I think of Proverbs chapter 30, that it says there are four things that are disquieted, four that say it is not enough. The grave, the barren womb, the fire that saith it is not enough, and the earth that is never filled with water. And I think that saying is so apropos for so many people who are filling this earth, that are so thirsty and they're drinking dead waters and they're just still thirsty because there's a gaping hole inside of them that needs that spiritual water of Christ. I'm going to pray and then I'm going to speak more. Dearest Lord Jesus, it is to you that I come, and it is to you that I seek, and to you that I look to. Lord, not to the thoughts or minds of others, not eating out of the hand of another, but like as the eyes of the servant look into the hand of the master, Lord, so my eyes look upon you, O Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to anoint this message and for the inflooding of your Holy Spirit, and that you would make me like your son, who like a champion running his race goes through the circuits of the heavens. Lord, I pray that every word that I would speak would be approved of you and witnessed by your Holy Spirit. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart now be acceptable unto you, O Lord, my God, and our Redeemer. For thy name's sake, I offer and commit myself unto you with joy set before me. I carry my cross in Jesus' name. You know, the longer you, some of you have probably experienced this, but the longer you go in your own walk with Christ, you know, we start off with a group, and then at some point we start to grow and we want to, you know, like it's natural, right? Like we don't always want to crawl, we want to walk, and then we want to run, and then we want to dress ourselves and we want to feed ourselves. And then of course you get the picture. And then we want the full round expression of the adult life. In other words, we want to own our life as an adult, but we also want to grow in the grace and knowledge and the love of God, of Jesus Christ. And just like we grow up externally, we have to grow up spiritually. And with the same falling and rising again seven times, we do that externally and we do that internally. But I have found that in my teaching, my preaching, my sharing, my fellowshipping, I only want to say those things that I feel, that I intensely feel. I want to have that life of Christ that I could tell. And it comes from experience. And when we have experienced life in this earth, in this world, as being born again, and still growing up on the external, those two are working together all the time. And I feel that I could never preach a sermon or teach a lesson unless I sharply feel it within my heart. There's something about hearing somebody preach or teach or share because their spirit is speaking to my spirit. Intellect speaks to intellect. But when a man or a woman is preaching or teaching, my spirit man is going to hear them speaking from their spirit. Jesus says, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. The flesh profits nothing." And there's all this working towards. And I was thinking, as I was getting ready for this message, I was thinking about the experience, that we're always gaining experience. But moreover, I was thinking about how truly what it is to be a Christian is climbing a mountain. And if you're truly, truly following the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, then we're following God in the upward call. There's a lot of times that we're enjoying places of rest, peace of mind. But I have found that in my personal walk with Christ, when I really got serious because my heart was throbbing for Christ, it was greater than something in my mind, greater than something than my own self, what I'm going to do, what I want. But yes, I had to be part of it. I wanting Christ must have been part of it. I believe in absolute and total free will. I feel like I can't even do this anymore unless I am absolutely preaching from that place that I have grown up in Christ, what I've experienced. Like it says in 1 John chapter 1, and it says here, and I want to say it just exactly because I could say it, but it'll be broken up, and I don't like that. And it says, that which was from the beginning, which, like the beginning, and I understand the context of this, but just go with me. That which was from the beginning, my born again experience, what I experienced when I was led by the Holy Ghost to Jesus Christ, and I went alone. There was not one person that was with me, but I went alone. And it says, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show it unto you, that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And I take those words so personal. Because yes, we could say we could say us, but there is this personal, powerful longing, deep desiring, and it's always deepening. And it makes you even part from company. That which was from the beginning, which I heard, which I saw with my own eyes spiritually, which I looked upon and my hands handled spiritually, the word of life. And Jesus's life was manifested to me and I saw it. And I do bear witness of my own self. That eternal life, which is in his Son. You know, I think back about all the years that I made every mistake. I got stuff wrong. But you know what? That's part of the grow up. It says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord, for he delighteth in his way. Yea, though he fall, yet he will not utterly fall. for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. And see, Jesus looked at me. He looks at us like I looked at my own babies, because I saw the potential. I knew that they would not always do that. And so many of us were so hard on ourselves. We think that we have to be something we're not ready yet to be. We haven't crossed certain rivers. We haven't gone down into valleys of Elah. We haven't done so much. And Jesus is that shepherd that leads us. You know, I think about all the times, I think about when I started to really go away with the Lord and to devote myself into his word, that it started to make a lot of people around me uncomfortable. People didn't like that I was going deeper, even if I was silent, which I decided to be most of the time. But they began to become uncomfortable around me. And that's what happens. And so it's part of what happens when you start to go alone with Jesus Christ. I'm not talking, you know, people are probably saying, oh, you can't forsake the assembling. There's no forsaking of the assembling. There's none of that. It's not a forsaking. It's not esoteric. It's not monastic. But as far as I have seen in the entire writ of canon, it was always one person who was running after Christ, and they were despised for it. They were hated for it. People didn't understand it, but it didn't matter to those men and women. And even all through the ages, all the people that are in heaven, they ran for Christ. Like blind Bartimaeus, when they told him to hold his peace, and he knew as Jesus was leaving Jericho that that was it. He was probably never coming back again. And so he yelled even louder, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I'll tell you something. When you're desperate and you know that that one shot is leaving, are you going to care about people telling you to hold your peace? Mm-mm. I'd rather be the one that is ridiculous looking or out of the way. I look at something that says in Galatians 6, 12 through 14, and as many as desire to make a fair shew in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. See how he said I? Notice how he starts off and says, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. And it says, but they make that they may glorify in your flesh. But he stands out and he says, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. There's something so powerful when somebody says, but I, Joshua, but as for me and my house will serve the Lord. That man or that woman that says I, in context of an absolute surrender to Jesus Christ, is one of the most powerful believers in the world. They can't be bought off. They cannot. There's so many people when they see you growing in the Lord and you're gaining ground, and a lot of it is most of it in prayer and in private reading, private prayer, that faith grows in the dark. And this is where we gain experience. We gain experience through our daily walk and running after Christ. Walking after Christ, crawling after him if we have to, committing ourselves to Him. You see, those people, I'm not here to pick on people, but I'm just saying, this is what happens. You make them uncomfortable. They don't want you around. They began to talk about you behind your back. They start calling you overly spiritual, or you're taking it too far. And you know, those are all part of it. Look at King David. He had people backstabbing him constantly. He was always fighting. He had a hard life. But he said one thing that I desire. And he talked about wars always being, he said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Remember, he's claiming it. The Lord is my light, my salvation. For whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Yea, though an host should encamp against me, I will not fear. Though war should break out against me, in this will I be confident. He's talking about a man of experience. He said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to inquire, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his presence. See, there is a place. Jesus is our hiding place, and Jesus is whom we are, our eyes are fixed on. We learn how to follow Christ, and it's not easy. It hurts. It's painful. But you know what? Every time we lose something, it's worth the gain in Christ. I'm speaking as to the degree of my experience that I am a person of experience. I am a woman of faith and of experience of the whole round life. And still more is coming if the Lord should tarry. And you get to a certain place where you say, I don't want a fair show in my flesh. I don't want to be circumcised to your group. I don't want to look like you. I don't want to sound like you. I don't want to walk in your footsteps. You stop seeking what other people have to say. You stop listening. Even well-intentioned people whom we love. And then there's people that are very educated in, you know, in the word. And you know what? God never let me ever. I've had opportunity. I have had some pretty radical opportunities to have higher learning. But Jesus said, no, Jesus wants me down in the valley. That's where you sow. I love what it says. And this is one thing, one scripture, this one scripture came to my mind. But as part of 2 Timothy 1:12 through 14, Paul is establishing Timothy as the pastor. But he says this one thing, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Some people say, well, you know, if you're saying I all the time, you need to die to yourself. There is an I that comes out of death to yourself. There comes an I where you become stronger and stronger and brighter, where you start going from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Oh, yes. Oh, there is an I. And you're so happy to say, I love the Lord. I trust the Lord. And you could fill in that I and that blank afterwards with your own experience. It says for it says that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What are you committing? What have I committed? I believe he is meaning he has committed his soul. But I look at that and I say, Lord, but I commit my husband and my children. I commit all that you have given to me anyway. I even commit this message to Christ. And it says, hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. So you see the playoff. He says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. And it says here, that good thing which is committed unto thee. So he's saying to Timothy, there's something committed to you. Think about what is committed to you. Christ is committed to you. And all the things you seek from Jesus Christ, when you seek for love or you seek for wisdom and you're seeking for patience and you're seeking for forbearance and you're seeking for peace and all those things from God is God. You're seeking the full stature of the full measure of the God-man, Jesus Christ himself, who is now raised up in the heavens, upholding all things by the word of his power. And Jesus learned things. It says, though he were a son, learned he obedience by the things which he suffered and also experienced. See, we have to experience things in this life. That's what makes the word exercising through us. But you have to get to that place. Don't be afraid. Don't let anybody talk you out of going up that mountain with Jesus Christ or going down into that valley. It says he commands his word to 1,000 generations. He's committed and commanded his loving kindness towards you. Jesus is committed to you. What you have committed, he committed himself first to you. He is committed to you. Jesus tasted death for every man. And now Jesus says, taste and see that I'm good. So we pass from death into life. And what is behind us? What's behind you? Is gone. It has no power in your life unless you want to grab onto it to pull it from some back file for wisdom. You know, Romans 5:3-4 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience, experience, experience, hope. We have to be the experienced people of God. Experience isn't just like, you're not going to believe what I experienced. There's something so meticulous going on in the building up of you, but also the tearing down of your ways of doing things and the way you think about things, where as you're dying daily, like Paul, he said, for I die daily, there is a death. I mean, for the sake that you're in your human body, you are dying daily. And you're being prepared to go into eternity. And God forbid you are unsaved. Because let me just say this to you. If you are unsaved and you're watching this, your body is made for this earth. And from dust you are, to dust you will return. You're just an earthly tent for your soul. See, because we don't just have a soul, we are souls. And our souls are eternal, and they have to go somewhere. And Jesus Christ wants you to be in heaven with him. But you have to believe on him. You have to experience him. You know, so many people say this postmodern term, which is really not said anywhere in the original 1611 text. It doesn't say, if you accept that Jesus Christ, it just says, do you believe? Because accepting means on your terms, but do you believe him? That's a completely different thing. And while I was reading the Bible, I was thinking, nowhere do I ever see that word, do you accept it? Because that means I have to accept it, as I said, on my own terms. I have to accept Christ and his cross and his crucifixion, his blood shed for me, that I have to accept. And though it's synonymous with believe, it's not the word that the Holy Ghost wrote down. He said, do you believe? And Jesus always asks, do you believe? I think it's something Chuck Smith Sr. said when he was in seminary. He said he was given something to study, and he was in his dorm that night. And he said he just couldn't understand what Chunky was given to read. And he said, I couldn't understand it. No matter how I tried, I could not understand it. And I got so mad, I threw my Bible down. And I said openly to the Lord, I said, Jesus, I just don't understand. I don't know. I don't understand this. And he said he heard Jesus say to him, I'm not asking you to understand it. I'm asking you to believe it. You see, your experience is about believing and seeing the invisible. You're going to prosper in the thing that you don't see. Now, faith is the evidence of things unseen. You know, we're people of heaven. We're spiritually alive. This world is not our home. What we are here to do is what Jesus wants us to do, what he wants you to do. He has a purpose for your life. He truly does. And that may sound vague, like, oh, really? So is it God's purpose that I'm suffering right now, or this horrific thing is happening and someone I love just died, or this or that, or all these terrible things? I don't have the answers. You'll have to realize that there is a mystery of Jesus Christ, but you have to believe his word, where he says, I am full of mercy. And you know, what his mercy looks like is also a mystery. We'll have all eternity to look into these things. God is not a God that beats people down. People beat each other down. And the religious community is absolutely the worst. I have experienced in my life people who have no experience at all. I'm talking about in just the, what I call, what's that word? It's not my saying. It's called William Gurnall's that calls it practical divinity. Practical divinity is your daily life applied, the word applied to everything you do. So it doesn't matter what you do. It's too easy being some leader of a religious congregation or of a meeting. That's easy. You could be whatever you want those people to be, but I'll tell you who you really are is what you really are in the daily walk, in your daily life, how you're treating people. And you know something? That's so huge to God, and how we're taking being treated. And it is being in the construction yard of those stones that were being hewn out, like it speaks in 1 Kings 6, 7, and 8, where those stones of the temple were in a quarry far away from the building site, where they were being sawn, where they were being chipped away at, and all that noise. That's your life. We are the stones. We are also stones of experience. That's not in the Bible, but we are lively stones. Peter talks about in 1 Peter chapter 2. A building of God, not made with hands. See, It says there's a work. See, the tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And the hope of God is Jesus Christ. Jesus knows that we're afraid of all kinds of things. He knows that we're looking at things happening in the earth. But I'll tell you this, I think that Jesus so triumphantly threw the horse and rider into the sea, and they sank like lead in the Red Sea. And all those people got out until that one last Israelite lifted up his soul out of the Red Sea, that those enemies were swallowed up. I think of when Mary Magdalene and the other women went to the tomb, and the tomb was open and there was an angel sitting on it. And it said that all the men that were there guarding the tomb, it said they fell down like dead men, but the women didn't. Isn't that interesting? They fell down like dead men. Those are the enemies of God. See, God is going to convey you to the other side. You watch and see. You'll see me there. I'll see you there. You know, the one thing I want to bring out to you today is that experience. And there are so many examples. Even David says, I know that God maintains the cause of the afflicted and the rod of the poor. Let me tell you something. Years ago, I was reading that. This was like a couple decades ago. And I came across that scripture. And as I was going to go past it, I felt the Holy Spirit stop me. And I knew to go back. So I went back and I looked at that verse. And I read it again. I know that the Lord maintains the cause of the afflicted and the rod of the poor. And I heard the Lord speak to me, and he said, David knows it, but do you know it? And I understood that day, that moment, that that word has to become the warp and woof. That's the old English way of saying the threads that make fabric. That the word had to become the warp and woof of my soul. That it had to be like the gold thread that was woven into the fine linen of the priest's garment and all that beautiful embroidery, like Joseph's coat of many colors. When I go to heaven, I want to come in with lots of embroidery. I want to come in with the entire word of God woven into the warp and woof of my soul. I want that for you too. He says in other places, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. And another place, David says, when I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me. And he said, this is one last one. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken away from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. See, there are so many scriptures. Jeremiah was saying it. Job was saying it. Abraham was saying it. Isaiah was saying it. The entire Bible, everybody was saying, I know. You see that powerful I? Because they were experienced men and women. Deborah had all kinds of eyes. That woman who fought the battle with Barak. There's so many eyes, powerful eyes. I know whom I have believed in. I know him. And because I know him, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You know what else I commit in my prayers? All of you. I commit all of your lives for the keeping to Jesus Christ and to our loving Father in heaven. I do. You know, I think of what Spurgeon said. You cannot preach conviction of sin unless you have suffered it. You cannot preach repentance unless you have practiced it. You cannot preach faith unless you have exercised it. True preaching is artesian. It wells up from the great depths of the soul. If Christ has not made a well within us, then there will be no outflow from us. And I don't know about you, but I feel radical. I feel like the wild winds that I read about in the Bible, or that I know about those wild winds. I love what's wild. I just love what's wild. I love the wild animals, and I love the wild seas and the wild rivers and the wind blowing wild spices and the things that are growing wild. And I believe Jesus still feeds among the lilies, meaning the wild flowers. Jesus loves that. When you can be free to let your spices flow in that south wind, when you can say, I must, like the woman in Song of Solomon, before the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will get me to the mountains of myrrh, to the mountain of myrrh, and to the hill of frankincense. She goes at night. The Proverbs woman arises while it's still night. The men that stand in the temple at night, that keep that temple, that keep the fire burning on the altar, it never goes out, according to Leviticus 16:13. And if you are having that fire in you, you can say that fire will never go out. It's a wildfire that burns for Christ. And no matter who tries to control me or tries to tell me something else, if I've experienced it, then that which I have committed unto him against that day, he is keeping for me and my soul when I meet him on that day. And he's doing that for you too. My husband said one day, if your spirit is dry and your heart is heavy, and if you feel like your life is not going to work out, that is the soil where the seeds of faith are planted to grow into great trees of experience. Amen. And when you go that way, then there's no limit. There is no limit at all to what you can do in Jesus Christ, to where, how you can be available to him. And you're not held down by a system, by permissions that you think you need to have. Because I have tasted of the Lord that he is good. And I've tasted that wild honey that Joseph tasted when he was in the forest. And he was hungry. And he dipped the end of his spear, his staff, into his spear, into the honey that was dripping from a honeycomb. And he tasted it, and his eyes were brightened. You know what I want? But I also want for you. I want you to feel that wildness in Christ. And never, ever let anybody tell you anything. In fact, those are the very things when that happens that will make you say, I know that the Lord will help me. Therefore have I set my face like a flint. Therefore I know that I shall not be ashamed. Amen. The Lord bless you.